This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Kidnappers, a community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
Hello, and welcome to Landwise, Promoting Sustainable Crop Production, a podcast series about sustainable ways to grow food in New Zealand. I'm Georgia O'Brien, Extension Coordinator for Landwise based in Hastings. Landwise has been around since 1999, helping farmers and growers to develop and test new practices through on-farm trials and extending cutting-edge research to the farm or orchard gate. Through our podcast series, we are bringing the insights of lead researchers, technologists, and farmers to listeners from all over the ag and hort industry. Each month has a theme, with guests joining us weekly for discussions. At the end of the month, we'll have them back as a panel to talk together and respond to your queries. This month, we're looking at strip tillage and cover crops, brought to you by our platinum sponsors, BASF, Hawke's Bay Regional Council, Vegetables New Zealand, and Processed Vegetables New Zealand. I'm excited to be joined today by Simon Lockhead, vegetable seed grower from Mid Canterbury, who has been using strip tillage in his farm for the last 3 years. So, Simon, do you want to give me a bit of an intro to how that's been going?
Sure, yeah. How I got into strip till was basically once you put on irrigation and vegetable feed crops became more of an option to grow, they were grown in wide rows, 52-metre rows, and the conventional way of doing it was to basically plough up the entire paddock, work it all down, and then sow it. And I was not a fan of that because we live in a high wind area, and working the whole paddock down, and in spring, you're often exposed to northwest winds and losing topsoil, which is just not acceptable in any means to me. The other idea was too is that we were often coming out of a grass seed crop. So the previous year we would have grown a grass seed crop. It was then harvested in January and grazed through the winter, and then goes into vegetable seed crop in the following spring. So to me, the idea of building up that soil structure and having a nice pastoral phase and a cropping rotation, and then turn around and working all up again, kind of defeated the purpose of all the good work you've done building up your structure in that pasture phase, to only have it undone by ploughing it and beating it to death. So that was what prompted me to look at strip till. The other component to this, to the whole thing, was with some of the vegetable seed crops, some of the herbicide options aren't great, so for controlling weeds can be an issue. So when a crop is grown in half-metre rows, to me it made no sense working up the entire paddock only to strike weeds across the entire paddock when you only need to work a small strip wide enough to plant the crop. And that was basically my main... those three factors were the main reasons why I was keen at exploring options of strip tilling.
Yeah, definitely. That makes a lot of sense. Can you expand a bit on how you've had to make changes to your weed management strategy?
Well, basically it's a different viewpoint of looking at it, and I've been using the residue of the grass seed crop as well. Basically, it's a bit of a change of thinking, and I'm saying, like, the residue you have from the crop that you previously grow, look at using, rather than that as being a pain and just burning it or baling it off, going, how can I utilise that as a weed mat to suppress its weeds in the following crop? So I've actually chopped and retained all my grass seed residue, and then with the row cleaners on the strip till, that's then pushed to the side of the strip in spring, and that that residue then is helped basically to suppress the weeds which would otherwise want to grow in that crop. It has more of an issue, sorry to be fair, with the autumn zone beet crops, because the straw is still there on the surface. And again, it works beautifully with that residue pushed to the side. It then creates a nice thick mulch that is like physically above the strip, so the plant is planted into the strip, which is cultivated, worked that little narrow strip, and then as it's emerging and coming up, it's got basically two rows of residue either side of it, which are much higher. Any wind vent you get, the wind just whistles over the top and doesn't make your poor little beet plant go around in circles and get sort of ring bark. So yeah, to get back to the question of the how it's changed the herbicide, it's been it's enabled me to use less herbicides and lower rates, less frequent than having the whole paddock bare and open at work and striking weeds everywhere. They're only now striking in the actual row itself. I'm trying to narrow up as much as possible the actual width of the cultivated strip, because in my experience, all the weeds have struck in the cultivated strip and then moved out. They haven't actually struck really between the rows, which obviously in half-metre rows, there's a lot of gap between. Mm. The only thing I get striking between the rows is the chitted grass seed, which can be easily be controlled with a grass killer.
Right.
And the wheat and the seed crop.
That's a pretty awesome change of strategy then, to be able to utilise what would probably, as you said, be a bit of a pain to burn or bale off as a weed suppression mat, and providing those additional benefits, like you said, with the beet seed crops, providing a bit of wind
cover.
It's a
win-win. It's beautiful. The problem is, though, is that, like, yes, in an ideal scenario, it works, but then the problem, if you chop all your grass seed residue, you leave it there, and then your road cleaners don't work, you end up in a hell of a pickle very quickly with not really a way to get it. So it's a high risk, high reward, I guess you'd say.
Mm.
But if you can get it right, I mean, it can be a beautiful scenario. You're just, all that residue is going back in the soil. You know, the earthworm activity is, they disintegrate in it, and it just slowly melts down as your beet comes up, and it's just a beautiful little thing where, as the protection layer goes down, the crop gets up big enough, and then it's strong enough to be able to handle the wind. So if you can get it to work, it works a treat. But like I say, it does take a lot of fluffing around to get it right.
Yes, so you definitely did come across some challenges during your time getting into strip till. What resources or people did you connect with when you were starting out to learn about it?
Oh, I was very lucky. I had a lot of help from another farmer who actually owned a Kerbuddlin culture strip, and he actually has hired it to me, and that's what I've used with me starting out. And then having then used it and seen the really good aspects of it and the bits of it that don't suit as well for going into ex-turf or ex-grass, I've then sort of used that to then, I'm in the process of building my own one that will be better suited for going into turf. All the off-the-shelf strip till machines, well, a lot of them apart from the Power Harrow versions from Europe, designed for mainly going putting maize into cereal stubble, which is obviously a lot easier to cultivate than 18-month-old turf. So that's why I decided to try and make one that will be fit for purpose for what I'm trying to do with it.
Right. So for growers and farmers starting out, they do need to be aware of the specific crops that they're going to be working and what challenges might come up with that residue.
Yeah, well, it's more what you're trying to achieve. I mean, for us, we're always coming out of grass. I want to these vegetable seed crops are going ex-grass. And so you're always going to be dealing with the pasture and a patch and turf. And, it's no different to whatever you do with it. Whatever you do with that, it's difficult compared to exterior ground. And it's just how you're trying to achieve that. And the one that I borrowed off the other farmer, he'd already made alterations to it to make it better for dealing with turf. And that was sort of the inspiration I had to think, okay, well, can I just take this a little bit further and tweak it a bit more? The other key motivation I had is all the other ones off that can be bought off the shelf, they cultivate quite a wide strip. I'm trying to make the strip as narrow as possible, because from my experience, wherever you cultivate, that's where the weeds strike. So I only want the strip to be as narrow as possible, so I've got less area of weed strike.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
That was the other sort of component. But yeah, had a lot of help from other farmers starting out anyway, which has been key.
So how have you monitored progress? What improvements have you been able to see on the farm?
Well, I mean, from my point of view, I'm trying to disturb the soil less these days, just to try and build soil health. The other side of the coin is these crops I grow up SPS, and they've done some trial work last year looking at disease levels, and the disease levels I had in my strip till crops were lowest of all the three crops that they surveyed, and the other ones have been established conventionally. So,
interesting.
I can't really can't put a dollar value on it, but I'm certainly spending less on, herbicide and fungicide. I managed to grow a radish crop 2 years ago that was actually effectively it had pre-emergent herbicide, but we didn't actually have to come back through it at all. the whole season. The first time I had to put tram on it, it was with the rig line to disc at it prior harvest. So
that was a real win
as far as I was concerned. That was just a combination of monitoring and sort of, the general consensus is as soon as you see something moving there, dive in and spray it. But, if you can just hang off and monitor and make sure, sometimes you can let nature sort of do it for you without having to intervene too much, provided you're monitoring regularly. So you'd say, what have I noticed difference? I've managed to reduce my cost of production of the crop with regard to chemical input, which obviously is financially good, and if you can make it work, obviously better for the environment too, if I can, put less chemical in. I mean, I'm still, conventional farmer, and obviously we'll always use chemical when required, but I'm also looking for opportunities to minimise it as well too.
Definitely. And as you were saying, with kind of when you first started to become interested in strip tillage, trying to preserve that pasture phase, or coming out of that, trying to preserve the benefits of the soil structure that it was providing. Have you been able to notice that quite markedly between your strip tillage paddocks versus the conventional tilled ones?
I'm still early enough days into it, but what I managed to do is, it goes to the grass and I strip till in the spring into my vegetable seed, and then it comes out of there, and then I just strip till my wheat straight in behind it. And last year, the paddock that I grew straight in behind, strip till was one of my better wheat crops. So I think I'm hoping that lack of disturbance in there, and it seems to, you have the beauty about the strip till is you've still got, like, there's a tine that goes deep and loosens below. So it's mainly radish that I'm growing. So, it's got a big bowl of taproot that wants to be able to go down. And so you've got the combination of a nice loosening lower down for that radish to go down, and then just a slight bit of tilt on top for the establishing seed. But other than that, these are at 50 centimetres, these two centres. So, it's relatively undisturbed in between. And it just seems that, the whole system is working nicely, and the wheat that follows it then seems to go well too, provided I can control the slugs. Having only done it for 3 years, I probably haven't really ultimately seen the full benefit of it yet, but the one observation I have made is that I had a good crop of wheat straight after the strip till last year. So
that was
better than I can really say, to be honest.
So what are you looking forward to in the next few years? Are you hoping things will keep moving forward and you'll keep learning?
Yeah, well, I'm just hoping that I can finally get the machine built, which has been a bit of an ongoing process, and also, making sure that it's successful, because I'm kind of designing it as I'm going. It's a bit of a suck it and see type scenario. so hopefully, that'll come through, and just basically enable me to utilise, well, there's opportunities to grow things in wide rows, just disturb less and make life easier, in a way.
Yeah.
That's basically all I'm trying to achieve. I mean, yes, sometimes I do have to maybe run around and do an extra mulch or something across the paddock beforehand to tee it up for it, to make it work so that the residue will flow through better, or, not get caught on the road cleaners. But to me, you're spending $100 a hectare whizzing across the paddock with a mulcher, yes, it's a pain, but, some of these fungicides on these vegetable seed crops don't take many fungicides to miss, and you've saved your $100 a hectare pretty quickly. So, that's sort of the way I'm looking at it, as a system, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, so there is potentially a little bit more time investment with your management, but you are seeing immediate gains in that disease management and less weed spraying.
Yeah, well, the 2 years ago, be able to grow the radish crop, basically, effectively spray on the radish free, I was pretty stoked about that. Yeah, as you said, saw a good wheat crop after that. And then this last year, with the SPS survey, the strip till crop having a lower disease pressure than some of the conventional ones, I think it's all poking in the right direction of saying, if we can just get this plant healthy and get it going, give it what it needs, utilising that soil that hasn't been too disturbed and hopefully the biology is there, working with the plant, then maybe it can be a bit more robust and basically require less fungicide input, I guess, is the broad goal, I suppose.
Great. Oh, well, thank you very much for your time today, Simon. It was excellent to hear your insights on starting out with strip tillage and the challenges that you've faced and how you've overcome them. So, thanks very much.
No problem.
The Landwise Promoting Sustainable Crop Production podcast series was brought to you by our sponsors. We appreciate the generous support from BAUCF, Hawke's Bay Regional Council, Vegetables New Zealand and Processed Vegetables New Zealand.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Kidnappers, a community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.